Welcome to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the program. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO, where we're hearing from Chief Information Security Officers. It's been 1 year since the Office of Personnel Management disclosed the first of two major breaches that ended up impacting 22 million current and former federal employees. The massive cyber breach spurred a major shift in the thinking and actions across the government. We will explore how the transformation is occurring at three different agencies. I start the show by asking Rod Turk, the Commerce Department CISO, about his agency's progress with the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program.
For the Department of Commerce, for the CDM program, I've told in many venues that we're all in. We're doing everything we possibly can to make CDM successful at the Department of Commerce. We, for many, many years now, we've been implementing the CDM program. In fact, we had the tool that we used as the centerpiece for the CDM program, we had made some investments in several years ago. So when the CDM program came, we were able to round out that investment, buy more licenses, and make the whole department centered around the tool, the CDM tools and the CDM processes. We now have our task order that we're working on right now. We're working on the planning phases of that, but I've actually, I'm working to transition from more of the planning to more of the doing, because we do have many, in many cases, the tools in place. So the bottom line is we're all in. You know, we're doing it. We're working very well with the DHS folks, and we meet with them on a continuous basis, and we're moving forward. So this is something we're very interested in.
While you guys are kind of waiting to go through some of the discovery pieces and some of the processes to begin getting the tools, how much are you doing on your own versus how much are you waiting for DHS? Can you quantify the difference?
Well, I think it's really a partnership. So to quantify the difference is difficult, but let me give you an example. So we have found that we need to upgrade our infrastructure for CDM so that it is a high-rated system rather than a moderate-rated system as far as FISMA is concerned. So we're making some investments on our own to move to put that high the controls in place for that high system. But in addition to that, as we move more tools from the CDM program into our environment, we're going to have to increase the size of our infrastructure so that we can actually handle all of the tools and the flow for all of the tools and the data flows. So we're working very, very closely with the CDM program to help us in that regard as well. So really, it's a marriage between DHS in the Department of Commerce, and we're working hand in hand with them. And of course, at the end of the fiscal year, as we move towards the dashboard, that's really our goal, is to get that dashboard in place, not only for the department, but also for each one of our bureaus as well. So we're looking forward to that day.
The Commerce Department has had an enterprise cybersecurity office in some ways, I mean, beyond obviously what your role as a security operations center. That obviously is going to play a big role as you guys implement CDM. Is that where a lot of the changes are happening?
We have in Fairmont, West Virginia, layered on top of our NOAA, the Security Operations Center, we have built out our Enterprise Security Operations Center. Now, let's face it, if you have NOAA and you're working NOAA into your plans, for the Department of Commerce, that's a very large percentage of our total number of devices that we're concerned about, as well as the feeds. So we've located it at Fairmont. By the end of this fiscal year, we expect to have all of the feeds for all of the bureaus, for all of the events and incident management types of feeds, feeding into a SIM tool so that we can use that information that we've gathered, that data that we've gathered, and provide an early warning system and an incident response system for all of the department. We're also looking at layering into that the classified piece, because we want to take the data that we gather and layer into that the classified, the secret and top secret information that we have in the intelligence community. That, we think, will give us a very powerful security operations center so that we can then support our bureaus with incident response.
Do you have any concern about the time it's taking to get CDM going? Is that impacting the Commerce Department in the sense of having to make decisions of whether you should buy this tool or renew this tool or wait till DHS gives it to you? I mean, you can't go without. We know that. How do you make that, if you will, go, no-go decision?
Well, we haven't had really any issues with that because, frankly, from the Department of Commerce perspective, we depend heavily on the CDM program to give us the tools that we need. So while we have some pilots of some other tools that we're looking at, we have not made a decision to go with those other tools because it didn't fit into the CDM architecture. So it is not the speed of the CDM, maturity of the CDM program has not been an issue for us. And in fact, if anything, we are trying to get our planning processes and our ducks in line, if you will, in preparation for CDM. So if it's anything, it's our slowness on our side. So we're not concerned about what DHS is doing in that regard.
You mentioned coming up at the end of this fiscal year, the ability to take information from all the bureaus into the dashboard. What comes from that dashboard? Can you talk a little bit about how your office or the CIO's office will use that information to then make decisions about protecting and mitigating potential risks?
Going back to the basics of the CDM program, you're talking about hardware management, you're talking about software asset management, those kinds of things, vulnerability management. Those are three huge areas. First of all, you can't protect what you don't know you have. I mean, that's pretty basic cybersecurity stuff, right? So that's going to help us tremendously to make sure that we've got a full bag of our assets identified so that we can make sure everything is secure. And then as we start moving into the vulnerability side, we're seeing some of it with the binding operational directives, with the scanning that DHS is doing, the vulnerabilities that they are presenting to us by their scanning. But we expect then as this matures that we'll be able to do more and more of that in-house, not so much for the external side, but the internal side as well, so that we can get the vulnerabilities identified internally. So we think this is going to be powerful.
You bring up some of the other work that DHS is providing, and you bring up the vulnerability scanning. Every agency went through an exercise last summer with the Cyber Sprint, looking at high-valued assets and how to protect them. Talk a little bit about what Commerce found and where you're at with that program in terms of knowing what you have and then how are you protecting them.
We went through a very collaborative approach, if you will, within the department. We sat down with all the CIOs, their representatives. We came up with 62 systems that we consider to be high-value assets. Now, they're not high-value assets strictly related to PII, personally identifiable information, but it's also high-value assets that are critical to our services that we provide to the American people. For example, our weather services, our satellites that we do for weather prognostication. We consider that to be a very important asset. So those 62 assets, we prioritize them, again, with the CIOs and the CISOs together. And in that prioritization, we took the top 18 and did our own assessment last fall. The results of that, the POAMs that were created were entered into our systems. We manage those POAMs now. Those 18 that were identified there became the basis for the number of high-value assets we provided to the federal government, for the federal government to use that list to select the ones that they wanted to assess. And that, in fact, again, that's a classified process, so I don't want to speak to that, but we have three or four that have been identified, and we'll go through the DHS process for the high-value asset assessments that DHS is doing. So we intend, as we move forward, to continue to assess the remaining number leading up to 62. So the 18 to the 62, they are on a schedule that we have put in place. We're going to do some of them this fiscal year. We expect it to continue into 2017, but it's not as if we're going to let those high-value assets languish. We're going to review them as well to make sure that they're up on a step as far as cybersecurity is concerned.
Now, we know with cybersecurity, it's not a one and done. You don't review something and put it away. What process do you have in place to have maybe a continuous diagnostics, continuous monitoring of these high-value assets to make sure nothing has changed? Because if you think about it, you've done 18, well, now when as soon as you do 19, what happened to number one, and do you have to redo that one again? It's a tough cycle a lot of agencies find themselves in.
Well, we're not doing anything special in that regards, to be honest. We're going to work through the 62. However, we expect that each one of our bureaus is going to continue with the processes and procedures, standardized processes and procedures, now that they've been identified and they're aware of the high-value nature of these assets, that they are, in fact, going to expeditiously patch, expeditiously change operating systems if that's a necessity, identify cybersecurity vulnerabilities as they come forward, because I'm a big proponent of basic blocking and tackling when it comes to cybersecurity. A very high percentage of the number of malware that's out there and the successful exfiltrations are related to existing vulnerabilities. So the very first thing you have to do is do that basic blocking and tackling. Put the patches in. Update the operating systems. Make sure your systems are up to date. And then when you get that completed, then you work on the segmentation of the architecture, the PIV. Those are very important things as well. And we've got that in our cybersecurity plan as well.
Rod, when you talk about high-valued assets, this also relates back. I mentioned the cyber sprint, but also the Cybersecurity National Action Plan, as well as the Cybersecurity Implementation Plan, to what OMB calls the two parts of the marathon, if you will. Give me a sense of what other implementation pieces, what other pieces and parts from those two plans Commerce is working on. You mentioned just recently you guys had a cyber stat. Talk a little bit about that as much as you can and what came from that.
There's several areas that we're focusing on right now, and that's related to the CSIP, the new FISMA process, and the FISMA report card that we just submitted here in the fall. Those we did an exhaustive research of all of those things to identify where the pitfalls might be for us at the Department of Commerce. It led us to four different areas that we're looking at, the first of which is PIV. We want to get our identity and verification process in place. And number two is we had an IG inspection a number of years ago on incident response. So we've crafted an incident response program where we're going to add two additional people plus some additional tools into our ESOC as well as our incident response group, and that's coming forward as well. And as part of the CDM program, I may have mentioned earlier that we want to elevate from a moderate to a high our investment and move up to the high rated system for our CDM program. We think that's very important because we have some high rated systems within the department. We want to be able to collect that data as well, put it into a high rated system. The last thing is that we do need to, within our central Office of the Secretary and within our OCIO office, we have some enhancements to our assessment process, additional people, additional feds to give us a more rounded assessment process. So that leads me to the four significant things that we're looking at this year, but it all relates back to all of the different inputs that we've seen from a metric standpoint, from FISMA to CSIP to CNAP, all of those things. We've kind of boiled them all together. And so when we had our cyber stat with Tony Scott, that was the core basis of our presentation, were those four improvement programs that we have in place that we're working on right now.
I want to go back to the two-factor authentication piece, the PIV card, the HSPD-12. You mentioned at the Management Change Conference in Cambridge, Maryland, from ACT-IAC, about a PIV-I, looking at how to get foreign nationals, which I know has been a big challenge, not just for Commerce, but other agencies such as NASA, how to get them authenticated. Talk a little bit about that plan and what's the timing around that.
For PIV-I, the problem we had was we have a lot of foreign national guest workers that come into a lot of our bureaus, primarily NIST, but there's others. The problem is that if you want to give to issue a regular PIV card, you have to have a significant background investigation leading to a security clearance. And these individuals cannot get that clearance because they're in the United States less than 3 years. That's a problem. So we, in the past, have not been able to issue them a card. So what we're doing at the Department of Commerce, we're moving towards a PIV-I. We've been working with NIST. They've given us approval to go to PIV-I. PIV is an interoperable PIV card that does not require the extensive background investigation. So we're going to, basically it's an access card. It will have a role-based process by which we will decide what roles and responsibilities these individuals will be given access to. And we will then give them a card so that they can access their desktops, their laptops, the same way as a federal employee, except that the roles and responsibilities will be tailored to them, but they will have that access card. They have access now. They have a username and password now. So this just gets us further down the road in the PIV program, but then it also sets the stage for us to do other ICAM kinds of identity and credentialing management kinds of things that we really need to be looking for. But quite frankly, having the card with all of our workers is the basic step. It's the critical path, and we have to get those cards out there. So that's the tack that we are taking. We want to increase the number of issuing stations that can issue the cards so we can get the cards out more quickly. Our goal is to get up to the 95% as quickly as possible. We hope by the end of the fiscal year is what our goal is.
Very nice, Rod. I know we could talk longer. Thanks for the update on CDM and the Commerce Department's cybersecurity program. My guest was Rod Turk, the Chief Information Security Officer for the Commerce Department. Rod, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.